is Valerie Miner, who's presenting on caring, taking cardiovascular risk reduction to the fifth grade classroom and beyond. Dr. Valerie Miner.
Thank you. I also have no relationships to disclose. The Caring Project actually is an intervention that came directly from the Cardiac Project. And the Cardiac Project is a school-based risk surveillance and intervention initiative looking at, specifically at, trying to combat the unacceptably high level of cardiovascular disease and diabetes in West Virginia. This project started in 1998. We are, of course, IRB approved through WVU. And when we started, we really were focusing on cholesterol, trying to identify children that were a particular risk because of high cholesterol or dyslipidemia of some sort. And Dr. William Neal, who's a co-founder of the project, is a pediatric cardiologist, and this, of course, is what he was looking at. We did finger sticks initially in the schools and ultimately went to fasting lipid profiles and venipunctures. I'll show you those results in just a moment. But it became clear pretty fast that the number one surrogate for cardiovascular disease was obesity. When we dropped the finger sticks in the schools and only looked at body mass index, participation plummeted. And I see some of you nodding. Obesity is not really a particularly good thing to talk about. And although that's certainly what we realize we're targeting, we did go back then to reintroducing fasting lipid profile through venipuncture. The 10-year summary for the Cardiac Project so far, I'll just show you quickly. We've screened about 52,000 children. We, as you can see, that's only about 43% of those eligible. And we even at one time did have an NHLBI grant to try to look at why we should have 100%. It's free. It's taken to the schools. All those issues of access that we all worry about were eliminated. And we still aren't sure why, except that we're from West Virginia, so we're working on that. You can see our overweight body mass index at the 85th percentile, our obesity at the body mass index above the 95th, 28% of our children. Hypertension, we're looking at about 14.9% positive. This has been one of my real loves of this program, and I'm trying to work out the problem with some limited resources, but I'm working on it. When you think about selecting a blood pressure cuff, you look at the length of the upper arm as well as the circumference. If the circumference is large and you can't get the cuff to close, then you go to a cuff with a larger length, a longer length this way, and you do tend to get a false low reading. You can. There's a little argument in the literature about that. So if our children are this obese, are we really getting a good, accurate estimation of blood pressure, of hypertension? And I'm concerned that we aren't. I did find from one company a small adult cuff that has a longer tail so that this dimension is appropriate, but it will go around those large little arms. If any of you have any suggestions for us or any data on that, like I said, we did find one and we're trying to replace those throughout the state at one company. Those children who had an abnormal fasting lipid profile, at least one abnormal value, was about 33% of the fasting lipid profile sample, and that's a pretty significant number. If you could go to the website, and I'm sorry, I don't have it up here, but it's CardiacWV, C-A-R-D-I-A-C, WV for West Virginia.org. You'll find a wonderful website that will give you contact information for everyone in the project, the Cardiac Project, as well as some of the smaller interventions that are going on, as well as the aggregate data for each state. And also, for a short time we did ninth graders, but high school students being what they are, the participation was really not good, and it was quite expensive to do the program without the high-level participation. We are moving at the direction of our governor, Joe Manchin, and also we knew that we needed to do this. We're moving to the younger grades. We're screening, second graders in cardiac two and some kindergartners. And, pardon me, the kindergartners at this point are also linked with dental screening with the Benedum grant at the WVU School of Dentistry. Well, now what? West Virginia is very unique in its diversity. If you can picture it on the map, one person suggested one time it looked like a pork chop. He was traveling through West Virginia and couldn't figure out why we all had pork chops on our license plates. It's actually the shape of the state. Some of you can picture that. That northern panhandle, where my husband and I are originally from, is only 8 miles across. It's about 40 miles west of Pittsburgh, and that was steel country. And so we've got a very unique population there, probably a little more ethnically diverse than most parts of the state. When you move into the eastern panhandle, it's very much under the influence of Washington, D.C. Then you can picture the southern coal fields, and as you go to the west of West Virginia, you get some influence from Kentucky, from Ohio. So when we look at diversity within West Virginia, it's not necessarily what you would think of as ethnic and racial diversity, but just diversity within the state itself. Barber County, where we are currently from and have lived there over 30 years, is where I'm operating this project, and it's just a little project at Alderson Broaddus College, which is a church-related college, not a Bible college, but church-related. We only have around 700 students. Barber County recently got its third traffic light because our covered bridge burned down and we had to divert traffic until the covered bridge could be repaired. It's the only covered bridge in the country that still carries a federal highway. We have 6 elementary schools in Barber County, and the largest one is where I did this program, and we had 56 fifth graders. So hopefully this tells you some of the things that we're up against when we are trying to do some type of an intervention. We're not a large state, we're not a wealthy state, and we have a lot of pockets of little communities that are very independent, thank you very much, and so that makes, bless you, that makes additional challenges. In my role, I do teach nursing at Alderson Broaddus. I teach senior level research and community health promotion, not what we think of as public health sometimes, public health nursing or visiting nurses. We don't do medical surgical care in the home or pediatric care in the home. We are community oriented to improve the health of the community as a whole. And we always need good places to start, and I always want to teach my students the basics. And so the 8 tenets of public health nursing: processes are systematic and comprehensive. We represent the people. Primary prevention is our priority. We need to create healthy environmental, social, and economic conditions. Actively reach out to all. Be concerned with the greater good for all. Stewardship and allocation of resources is so important to us because we don't have many resources, for one thing. And multidisciplinary professional and organizational collaboration. And I am very fortunate in that West Virginia University, where I was co-founded this project with Dr. Neal, is very generous. We have a wonderful extension service through WVU, and so we do have some very rich resources in terms of people and people who are willing to share their knowledge. This community health nursing education initiative has several learners. The fifth graders, of course, are the target audience, but we also reach to their friends and to their families, and certainly nursing students, every time they walk through the door of a classroom, are going to learn something. And the teachers, which would include the faculty at the college who are involved in this, as well as the teachers at the elementary school. This is the logo we designed. It's called Caring, and you can see caring, reaching out, and involving communities. Probably one of the hardest parts of the project, with the limited kind of audiovisual help we have, was to integrate the word cardiac and caring. And so I want to give credit to the secretary in our department, Sharon Hebb, and Chris Ball in the IT department, and they helped us put that together. It's probably only important to us, but we call it caring, and we like to show that it absolutely is involved in the cardiac project. In the caring project, we are conducting some research. We're looking at the knowledge base improvement, and we're also looking at the affective domain. We did this the year before last when we started the project. We did not carry through that part of the research since I was on sabbatical leave, but we will start collecting data and doing some data analysis on those two domains next semester. As I did mention, the collaboration for caring is through West Virginia University, Alderson Broaddus College, the senior nursing students and community nursing leadership, and the faculty. The caring curriculum is so simple, but it's divided into five major areas. We felt that in order to teach about cardiovascular risk reduction, we had to remind the children about cardiopulmonary anatomy and physiology. We dealt with stress, anger management, tobacco avoidance, healthy eating, and physical activity. And these, of course, all meshed with the West Virginia Department of Education science and health objectives and what we all know to be the modifiable risk factors for cardiovascular disease. So the first one we'll take a very quick look at is the anatomy and physiology. This picture takes you to our skills lab where some very industrious and creative nursing students bought heavy canvas, sewed it together, and painted a heart with the chambers, a large heart mat. And in this, we took a walk. We took the children through the heart, walking through the chambers of the heart. They would pick up oxygenated red balloons and go through the left side of the heart and throw them into the room, where they would then gather blue ones, because the oxygen is off now, take them back through the heart and back through the lungs. And they had a wonderful time with this. And our OB, my nursing colleague who teaches pediatrics thinks she's going to do this so that she can help these kids figure out some of the genetic defects. But it's a very inexpensive project. They just use regular latex paint, heavy canvas, and balloons. Then the teacher and I and one of our former students added some plaques, and we blew up white balloons, and we plugged everything up. Now, we realize that we're putting plugs in the heart and not out there in the vessels, but there's only so much you can draw on a mat and roll out. And, of course, the kids had a wonderful time. We didn't let them through those plaques very easily, and every once in a while, one of those plaques would break off, and it would go flying into the body, and the kids knew, stroke, heart attack. They knew that right away. One kid saw that happen and yelled, "Call the, you know, dial 911. We thought he really had gotten the message. Stress and anger management is another issue that we all know about. They did learn about stress and anger. You can see them sitting here actually paying attention. It sort of surprised us that they were paying attention as closely as they were. But I think a lot of these children didn't realize the physiologic responses that their bodies have. And also, we needed to teach them that it's really okay to be angry, and it's really okay to be stressed. Sometimes stress is a motivator in small doses. And anger's all right as long as you don't act on some of your most violent thoughts. And so we did help them with some different activities. I'll show you a couple here. We did some role-playing where they drew cards, and the nursing students helped them. What would you do if someone said this to you, or this happened to you, or you found yourself in this situation? And there was a lot of support of the kids. The fifth graders supported each other in their answers. We had some activities to help them even identify the kinds of things that might have been frustrating or caused them some anger. One was called the boiling point, and they just had a thermometer. They actually colored in, and it had the boiling point of water, and this is what makes me boil. We had a thing called kid cuddle. That sounds silly, but, you know, we just had them give themselves a hug. Some of those kids, that was the first hug they had that day. We had a belly balloon where you would lie on the floor. I didn't take pictures of this because these were sort of personal things. But they would lie on the floor and put their hands on their bellies, take a deep breath and think about the stress issues, and just let them go. And then take another deep breath and think about the anger issues and let them go. We also had them imagine stress clouds. The stress on there, you see that? We're going to push it away. We're going to talk about it. We're not going to repress it, but we're going to push it away. And then, of course, the always favorite balloon stomp, where you blow up a balloon, you write the thing that really sets you off, and you stomp on it. Just get rid of it. You can get rid of your anger by stomping on balloons, and they love that, of course. Tobacco avoidance is another huge issue for us. Smokeless or spit tobacco, smoked tobacco, secondhand smoke, they're all huge, huge issues for us. And we had the kids do some exercises and play some games. Unfortunately, the little boy on the right looks like he's seen some smoking. But what they're doing here, they're to pinch off their noses, hold a straw, and just walk in place and show what it's like when you're trying to breathe air through a restricted area. They didn't like it. There's also a thing called the tobacco ball. It's a big beach ball. You can make this or you can purchase it. You write questions about tobacco use, tobacco in all forms. The kids toss it around and they answer the question that's on their under their left thumb. And if it rains, you bring it indoors. And it's great fun too. Healthy eating was another one that we addressed. I'm going to take you very quickly through the content, just a little bit of the content, and then an explanation of our planning and our reflecting. This is a student, if you can see in the corner there, we have a picture of a whole grain, and Eileen was showing the students whole wheat bread versus white bread. We took the other stuff. We took some things in and let them taste. We showed them, we went to Southern States and got some grains that were used for feeds for cattle so they weren't treated. And we also just went to the store and purchased some brown rice, unprocessed rice, to show them that this really is where the nutrients are. And we did a couple of things with tasting, too, just simple things. Of course, you have to have a lot of approval to get to do this. We also did a thing with energy balance that was absolutely no cost at all. We cut out pictures of different meals, water, a sandwich, and an apple. We filled it with a certain amount of rice. And then in the other side that you can see is weighting her down would be the amount of energy that you would use if you played soccer. So they have energy bags in one hand and nutrition bags in the other, and it's looking at energy balance. How much activity do you have to do if you're eating, Big Mac up here, watching TV isn't going to get it. And they loved that. They played the role of the scales, and they got it. This book, you can see, is a bit of reflection. To remain healthy, I could, and then you put in, fill in the blank. And then how did you do? They would evaluate their goal the next week. Along with writing, to remain healthy, I could do something. For someone in my family, I could teach them to exercise. Or my friends, I could, whatever. And they made a bit of a contract, not a formal thing, but I'll agree to help you exercise. I'll agree to help my family exercise and whatever. And then each week they came back and they evaluated their goals. There were children with some special needs that had that we did spend some time with, so we certainly did not ignore those children as they worked through their books. Physical activity, we did some stretching activities with them. This all came through our exercise physiologist who helped us do it properly. We had things called exercise dice that you can roll. There's a number, and then the activity on it, and Tom is thinking he would have to roll toe touches because then there were 8 toe touches, and that's what they did. Improv at the elementary school, they could either make up activities like charades, the kids guessed what they were doing, or they could draw a card. This one I have to show you. My nursing student came out, put her coat on, put her hat over her head. She was mumbling something, and when I got close to her, she's saying, birth control, birth control, birth control. And what we mainly said was, God bless the teachers, because we don't know how those classroom teachers stay in those classrooms all the time. We were only there an hour, and she's thinking twice about whether she could probably have a large family or ever be a classroom teacher. I had to put that in there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Miner. Our next presenter is Dr. Laura Antico, and she's